Hi, this is Chris Kepler with Does This Happen to You? The podcast where we explore the more bizarre ways of getting through your day. This week, we have the continuation of the Oh My God series. And here is episode 37. In the previous installment, episode 36, I arrived at our hotel in Reims to find Oh My God's bicycle lodged in the antique glass elevator in the lobby. After successfully extracting the bike, I was later waiting in the lobby when Anne and Ellen sat down next to me, clearly distraught. Before they could launch into their latest castigation, we were interrupted by the sight of a recently showered Oh My God descending the staircase, as if he were some tragically out-of-touch disco queen from several decades prior, trying once again to find glory. As I was mesmerized by Oh My God's ignoble descending of the spiral staircase that encircles the hotel's iconic glass elevator, I did not realize Anne and Ellen sat down on either side of me, each with a flute of champagne. It was not until later that I registered this as rather odd, since neither one of them had shown much interest in wine, let alone champagne, and they had shown even less desire to be social, least of all with me. Oh My God's behavior was also rather odd, or more precisely, he was acting a bit out of character. His behavior was always odd. First was the aforementioned shower, apparently his first non-mandated hygienic act of the fortnight. I refused to determine if he had been brushing his teeth. Second, he descended the staircase with aplomb despite the rather slick carpet runner and the fact that it required at least a half dozen circumnavigations of the elevator shaft, all while wearing cleated cycling shoes. Apparently, the introduction of a new outfit did not necessitate a change in footwear. Third, and surprisingly most shocking of all, he was a good 15 minutes early for our standing dinner rendezvous, but I immediately dismissed any possible contrition on his part, much less a change in his regular approach to life, of being perpetually late and foul-smelling. Rather, it was more likely that he simply had no idea how to gauge the time it would take to shower. As he approached the three of us sitting in the small room off the lobby, sipping on the local elixir, he chose the table the furthest away. I immediately assumed that he was on his best behavior, since he no doubt feared my wrath for having first lodged and then abandoned his bike in the glass elevator. I imagine the old woman flattening episode was already far out of his consciousness, if it had ever been there at all. I figured he reasoned that if he sat next to me, I would unleash what had become a nearly daily diatribe about his behavior. He was right, but I was wrong. I doubt that he ever engages in much reasoning. After he sat down and started in on the ritual of asking how many beers were available. There was only one, Fisher, but it would still take the better part of 10 minutes to go through the routine. I noticed that both Anne and Ellen were visibly more upset than usual. This, of course, was a relative estimate, as they both perpetually sported a rather nasty scorn. I was near the end of my flute of champagne, so I had a choice to make after I finished it. Either I was going to go up to the tiny bar and stay there avoiding any discussion as to the source of their sour moods, or I would stay and confront the situation head on. In either case, I found myself in an eerily familiar situation. I needed more champagne. I went up to the bar and flagged down my new best friend, the hotel worker whom I helped dislodge Oh My God's bike from the glass elevator an hour or so earlier. As he was pouring my wine, for which he did not charge me, clearly Madame Dompierre was gone for the night, as I doubt he would have been so brazen were she still on the premises. I was contemplating my next move. For me, the decision was clear. Although I would have loved to have been able to ignore addressing the angst that was clearly displayed across their faces, dealing with Anne and Ellen's discomfort now would be much more pleasant, or at least slightly less offensive, than after they had had a few more glasses of alcohol in them. Nonetheless, I lingered at the small counter for a bit, chatting with the diminutive bartender. It must have been a rather odd sight, as I stand 6'4", and I doubt my interlocutor was more than 4'6". Eventually, I turned ready to head back over to the table when I saw that Maggie had joined Ellen and Anne, thus causing me to reevaluate my earlier decision. With Maggie at the table, I imagined the recounting of their woes would be much more dramatic for the newly arrived audience. So I stayed at the mini-bar and kept chatting up the bartender, hoping for another flute of champagne. Moments later, I heard a gasp from Maggie, and I quickly turned, fearing that Oh My God had somehow discovered a way to light his beer on fire. Instead, there was, well, nothing. I scanned from table to table, and while I dare not use the word normal, it did not appear that anything was out of the ordinary. Ordinary is, of course, a relative term. As I was ready to chalk it up to just another pseudo-dramatic outburst, I saw it. Or rather, them. Paul and Cece were coming down the stairs, and based on their giggling and frequent touching, it would not be a stretch to say that either there had been a romantic event between them, or there would be in the very near future. Great. Just great. As if there were not already enough going on. A quick recap of my dining companions for that evening. Maggie, an emotional wreck who was in some stage of the process of breaking up, or staying with, her fiancé after a semester-long affair with her dissertation advisor. She also had made a few overt attempts to get me into bed. Anne and Ellen. A married couple who made no qualms about how unhappy they were on the trip, never hesitating to lash out at me and the company, and they both seemed to be in particularly foul moods. Paul, a man who shocked us all when he told us he was married and had been making rather lewd advances at the emotionally distraught Maggie. Cece, who likely just slept with Paul. And, oh my God, in the last 3 hours he had pulverized an old woman with his bike, abandoned said bike wedged in an antique elevator, took his third shower in 16 days, and then dressed up like a homeless drag queen. Yeah, dinner was going to be a blast. After the two newly minted high school lovebirds made it to the lobby, I rounded up the group and we headed off to the restaurant. It was a good 10-minute walk from the hotel when I was by myself, which meant at least 20 minutes with a group of eight. I have found that with the addition of every 2 to 3 people to a group, it takes 25% longer to walk anywhere. We walked up the large pedestrian section of the city, which, I have to say, is rather impressive. I was at the front of the group, and as it started to fan out a bit, I was suddenly joined by Anne and Ellen. I braced myself. They started out by complimenting me, which threw me off guard, as previous diatribes almost always started by questioning my intelligence. This time, however, they were apparently thankful for the advice I had given that morning regarding what to do for lunch. As there were no real options from Epernay to Reims other than a couple of pricey restaurants, Ellen and Anne, per my suggestion, had stopped at the rather large supermarché just outside of Epernay and right before the famed champagne town of Aix and purchased picnic provisions. They rode for a couple of hours and stopped on top of the Montagne de Reims, near Le Fault de Verzy, an odd forest with trees right out of Middle Earth, to eat. Just as they had laid out their provisions, Oh My God appeared as if from thin air, yet again. At this point, Ellen went on a 3-minute diatribe enumerating all the times that a similar apparition had occurred. If true, it was rather compelling that Oh My God indeed had an otherworldly ability to detect the two of them dining. Up until this point, Ellen and Anne had done yeoman's work indulging Oh My God at nearly every meal. At first, they admitted, they enjoyed it. They found him quirky and funny, so they did not mind at all his company while dining. At this point, Ellen tossed out, "Since no one else would," which was met with a glare from Anne. I was not sure if this was intended as a strike against our collective manners or an attempt to garner some credit for combat duty. It had been clear, at least to me, that Oh My God always tried to sit near them since they would give him anything that they did not eat. often after he prodded them with, "Are you going to eat the rest of that?" which he would eat in his usual style, stuffing his face until no more food could possibly fit in his mouth, and then start talking with his dizzy Gillespie cheeks to an audience that neither wanted to listen to him or look at him. All this time, I thought that Anne and Ellen actually liked his company, and therefore deserved it, but I was mistaken. Anne indicated that they just couldn't take it anymore. I had to get Oh My God away from them. The stench was driving them to the brink of suicide. At that point, we reached the restaurant, and as the rest of the group approached, I indicated that I would do my best to keep Oh My God away from them for the next 2 days, at which point their trip would be over, but mine unfortunately would continue on to Belgium. Just as we entered the restaurant, Cece indicated that she needed to use the restroom, and after I pointed it out, Paul quickly followed her. You have to be kidding me. We were escorted to the rectangular table, which normally sat 6, but was set up for 7. Oh My God sat first, at the far end of the table, and I quickly sat down next to him. I figured tonight was the night to make such a gesture to Anne and Ellen, since, at least by appearances, Oh My God had showered and his horrid body odor might be minimal. Even before I could be settled in my seat, Maggie quickly took the seat opposite me. Great. Anne and Ellen filled in the next 2 spots, which left a seat across from Oh My God and another at the head of the table for Paul and Cece. Inadvertently, this achieved another of my goals for the evening, to keep Paul and Cece apart so as to minimize the feeling that I was at my junior prom. 10 minutes later, when the two of them finally returned, the adolescent grins on their faces quickly faded once they saw the seating arrangements. Paul reluctantly took the seat opposite Oh My God, clearly disappointing his newfound dalliance. Dinner actually went off without much of a hitch. Paul and Cece carried on a mostly silent conversation from opposite ends of the table, consisting of furtive glances and hand gestures. Anne and Ellen sat silent most of the meal, which is how I imagine they spend most of their time together, as they don't appear to like each other very much. I suggested that Oh My God order a steak frites, which he did, and therefore limited the possibility of him getting any sauce all over me. And as far as I could tell, Maggie only grabbed my knee 3 times under the table. So yeah, it was a pretty successful dinner. During dinner, I suggested that we all go to the sound and light show just down the street at the cathedral. It was conducted in French, but the real interest was in the incredible lighting choreography. Oh My God, surprisingly, was immediately interested, which caused all the others to immediately become disinterested. Thus, sensing a moment where I could garner a bit of favor with the group, I made a loud pronouncement that I had already been to the show and I was just going to go and have a couple of beers to train for the Belgian trip. I encouraged all of them to still attend, of course, since it is truly an amazing sight. At the mention of beer, Oh My God started panting like a dog when asked if she wants to go for a walk, as I had anticipated. I then asked if he would like to join me, and of course he said yes. I was tempted to obtain a leash, but that would have been cruel. I mean, even Pavlov had some sympathy for his animals, right? We all left the restaurant together, and I led the group over to the cathedral, at which point Oh My God and I continued on. Once on our way, Oh My God confided that he really did not want to go to the sound and light show anyway, since we had seen one in the Loire Valley. By the way, when he tells other people about the Loire trip, he always says precisely the same words, which I have now heard 7 to 8 times, and therefore I can recite verbatim. It was very interesting with all the chateaus and castles and everything. Each time, I am tempted to point out the idiocy of the statement, but I refrain, ever trying to be the magnanimous guide. We needed to pass the hotel to get to the bar, and I mentioned to Oh My God that I was going to grab a book from my room. I thought about ditching him entirely, as I have done numerous times, but I figured if I did it again, I would surely rot in hell for being such an awful person, and since I had just visited the cathedral, God must surely have been paying very close attention to me at that moment, so I went to get reading material instead. When I came back downstairs, Oh My God had disappeared. I thought it was surely my lucky day and that my visit earlier in the day to the cathedral had turned my luck around. Just as I was leaving the hotel, still determined to have a drink, I heard the all-too-familiar chip that indicated Oh My God's presence. I turned and immediately noticed that he had changed his clothes back into his cycling gear. He had also seemingly wetted down his hair. It now appeared matted down again, as if he had just removed his helmet. Here we go again. If you enjoyed this story, please let me know. Thanks so much for listening, and next week we'll have episode 38.